The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Kiseitze. The Torah begins by telling us, Kiseitze la milchama alevecha, when you go to war against your enemies, unasanai Hashem elakecho biyodecho v'shaviso shivyo. And Hashem will give you victory, success, and you will take captives. V'ri'isa b'shivyo, and you will see amongst the captives, eishi shefas to'ar, a woman who is very beautiful, v'choshak tovo, and you will desire her, v'lakachta l'chol l'ish, and you can take her for a wife. And then the Torah goes into the details of this marriage, of which is known as the Yefas To'ar, a woman who was captured during the Milchoma, during the war. The reason for the interest of the soldier in this particular woman, that he desires her, the Torah tells us, comes not from the Yetzer Tov, but from the Yetzer Ra, not from the good inclination, but the evil inclination. Because the Chazal bring, Rashi quotes, Ledibra Tera Elekeneged Yetzorah. Why did the Torah permit such a thing? The Torah here is permitting a dispensation from the regular halachas of the Torah, because she's a non-Jewish woman. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara just what is the process. Are you megaya her first? Do you convert her first? Or can you take her first? And even if you do, even if you are megaya her first, it's a forced conversion, and forced conversions are not good conversions. So there's a whole there's a dispensation here. Torah made exemptions from certain halachas in order to enable you to take this woman. But Rashi brings that the Gemara says Le'dibra Teira Ela Keneged Yetzora. The Torah here is taking into consideration your Yetzora, your evil inclination. She may not Kodesh Baruch Hu Matiro, because if the Torah will not be permit her to you, Yisrael be Isser, then you will take her anyhow in a totally forbidden way. Alright, so we see that the motivation here is not a good motivation. Rather, it comes from the Yetzer Hara, from the evil inclination. Nevertheless, the Torah permitted it. Because of this, the roots of this act is in a soil which is not good, and it would be like planting a tree in poisonous soil. And if you did that, then the fruits that the tree would bear would also have this poison in them. And this is the smichus haparshos. This is the close proximity of the different parshas of the Torah, the different subjects which are dealt here. Because in the next parsha it states, immediately following the subject, in Pasuk Tes Vov, Ki siena li shtei noshim, a man has two wives, Ha'achas ha'uva v'ha'achas sanua. One is beloved to him and the other is hated to him. V'yolda levonim ha'uva v'ha'snua. And both the beloved wife and the hated wife bears him children. Now there's the mitzvah, the halacha of the firstborn, of the bechor. When it comes to Yerusha, inheritance, the firstborn gets a double portion. Now here, the firstborn in regards to Nachla, inheritance, because it refers to the firstborn of the father, not the firstborn of the mother. See, both of these children are actually firstborn of the mothers. And the firstborn is the one from the snu'ah, the hated one. And he doesn't want to give that son the double portion. He'd rather give the other son the double portion. Well, the Torah tells us, that when it comes time to give over the inheritance, you're not allowed to pass over, to overlook the son of the hated wife in favor of the son of the beloved wife. Not allowed to do that. He must take recognition of the firstborn, even though he is from the hated wife, to give the double portion, because this is his first seed, and therefore he has the mishpat habechora, he has the legal right to the firstborn. This is the next parsha. What is the purpose of the proximity? Torah tells us that if you'll take a Yafas Torah, you'll take this type of wife, in the end she's going to end up to be the snu'ah, the hated one. In other words, no good will come from it. And this is what Rashi quotes. Now we have a further parsha. In the very next one it states, Ki yele ish ben seire umeire. Person has a son who's a rebellious son. He will not listen to his father or mother. And they will punish him and discipline him, and he still does not listen. Now, it's speaking here not just about someone who's lacking in derech eretz, it's someone who's wild. It's speaking that he's becoming a gangster. It's a son that goes out and steals. See, and he's in trouble with the police. So they have to come and take him to the courts, and the Torah tells us what to do with this person. And this is also a whole complicated subject in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where he goes and he steals and so forth and so on. And the end is, such a son you have to put to death. Now, what is the proximity? So again, the Chazal say, he went and he took a wife, a Yafas Torah, and from there she ends up to be a hated one, and from there she will bear him a Ben Seira Meira, a rebellious son that will become a gangster and can become very dangerous. Now there's a fourth parsha. V'chiyev ish chet mishpat mobis. This is in Pasuk Chof Beis. V'humos. That if you have a person who commits a capital crime, a crime with a capital punishment, and the Bezdin, the courts, put him to death, v'soliso al eitz, and they hang him. So the Torah tells us that even though he was deserving of the capital punishment, lo soli nivlosi al eitz, you're not allowed to leave him hang more than that day. By nightfall you have to take him down. Ki kovertik berena bayemahu, on that day you must bury him. Ki kilalas elikim tolui, because actually kilalas elikim tolui has two interpretations. One is because this is a bizoin, this is a disgrace to Hashem, because everyone is made b'tzelem elikim in his image, and therefore it's a disgrace that he should be hanging. So we hang him only a minimal amount of time. There's another interpretation, kilalas elikim, that this person went, this is from the word klola, he went and he cursed Hashem. Now, what is the proximity here? The smichus aparshois, that when they do give birth to this ben seir meir, this rebellious son, if they will not fulfill the halacha and bring him to the court, that he should be punished, so eventually he will go out and commit crimes of murder are of equal gravity to the point where he will have to be put to death anyhow. So we see from the fact that a person was motivated to take a woman, and this motivation is coming from the Yetzer Hara, not the Yetzer Tov. He'll end up to hate her. She will give birth to a Ben Seder Meire. And if they close their eyes to his crimes, eventually he will become a gangster that will be a murderer of that sort. What do we see from all of this? We see the long-term results of a person's actions, which he takes now. It was a very simple act he did. He's in the war, he's a soldier, sees he's allowed to take captives. He sees one that's very, very beautiful. He desires her. So he takes her. And we see the long-term results that one thing leads to the other. Now, we have a great number of examples of this in this week's parsha and last week's parsha. Immediately after, in Pasuk Chof Beis, in Perichov Beis, Pasuk Chof Gimel. The Torah tells us Ki Enara Besula Me'erosalish, a young girl who's betrothed to a person, U'matzor Ish Ba'ir, and she was in the city, she was walking around the city, and a man found her, V'shoch Avimo, and he forcefully molested her. So then the Torah deals with the punishment because she was a betrothed woman. She was married. She didn't have the chuppah yet, but she had kiddushin. Rashi brings, this also started from a seemingly innocent act. Why does it say u'matzo ish ba'ir? What does it have to tell us that they found, someone found her in the city? What was she walking around the city for at night? If she stayed at home, this wouldn't have happened. So from an innocent act, a seemingly innocent act, but it was a careless act, so she brought upon herself a great calamity. The Torah tells us in last week's parsha, Parsha Safety, Perik Yutes, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yechiya Ish Soneil Re'ehu. There's a man who hates his friend. The Orav Lei V'Komalov V'Kol Nefesh, Nefesh V'Mesh. So he decides one day that he will plot against him and murder him, which he does. Why does it say V'Chiyei Ish Sonei L'Rehu, that he hates his friend? What's the difference if he hates him or not? The main point here is that he murdered him. And then the Torah tells us what to do with this murderer. So Rashi brings from these sages, Al Yidei Sinosoi Hubo Lidei Va'orabloi. How did he come to become a murderer? Because he transgressed the mitzvahs of the Torah and hating your fellow man. Mikan Omru. From here the sages learned, Ovar Odom al mitzvah kalo, seif alavar al mitzvah chamura. Because he went and he transgressed something which would seemingly a light aveira. He hated a person in his heart. Now that would be seemingly a light aveira because he didn't do anything to him. He just had bad thoughts about him in his heart. But he went and he transgressed a light aveira, where the Torah says, Leisisna. You shall not hate your fellow man in your heart. And because he did, Sefer Lamora Mitzvah Chamura. This brought him to the, perhaps the worst Aveira in the Torah, Shvichas Damim, murder. That's why it tells us there was a man who hated his friend and he went and he killed him. We have a similar case in our own parsha. In our own parsha, in Pasuk Chof Beis. Pasuk Chof Beis, Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. This is in our own parsha, actually, I should have brought it before. It states, Ki yikach ish isho, a man marries a woman, uva eleha, and he comes to her, usneo, and he hates her. Gets married, and right after the chuppah, when they first live together, the next morning he decides that he doesn't want her. He hates her for some reason. So, he plots against her. What does he do? He says he'll go to the Beis Din, to the courts, and he'll say that this woman that was betrothed to me already for 6-7 months, a year, they used to do the erusin, the betrothal, which legally would make her a married woman. They used to do that long before the chuppah. So he'll say that I didn't find her to be a psula, virgin. This means she must have been unfaithful to me during the past year. And this way I can get rid of her. And also he can get rid of her without paying off anything. You send away a wife, you divorce a wife, you got to pay her the ksuba. So this is what he's plotting. Som le'aliz dvorim ve'heitzi aleo shemro. So he brings against her the shemro, this scandal. He slanders her. And then the Torah goes through the whole parsha of what we do in such a case. So Rashi brings Aveira Gereres Aveira. We see her that one Aveira, one transgression brings to the other. Over Ale Sisna, because he transgressed hating someone in his heart. Say for Lord of Lovely De Lashon Hara. From here he comes to Lashon Hara, to Metzi Shemra, to slander. Again, he was able something which would seem to be a mitzvah kalam, a light avera. He hated her in her heart. Meanwhile, the Torah says that you have to love your fellow man and certainly your wife. And this brought him to an avera chamura, there a Metzi Shemra. We have another example in our parsha. In Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, Lo Yovei Amoni Umo'ovi Bekal Hashem. The nation of Ammon and the nation of Moab. These were the two nations that were born from the two daughters of Lot when they had a union with their father. They shall not come into the Kahal Hashem, into the central community of Hashem. This means even if they're Megaya, even after conversion, they cannot marry into the central community. And even after 10 generations of conversion, forever they are not allowed to marry into the central community of Hashem. This was a decree on the Zechorim, on the males, not on the females. This was the whole discussion by Rus, because Rus was a Moabit. She came from Moab, and there was a whole discussion there if she could marry into Klal Yisrael or not. But the conclusion is that she was able to, because this is a decree under Zechorim, under males. Now why? Why did the Torah distance this nation more than almost any other nation? Generally a nation, the Megayer, they want to convert, so you have to accept them. And once they convert, so they can marry who they want. Why did the Torah distance this nation, these nations? Because when Israel were leaving Egypt and they came to Eretz Israel, and I'm guarding the borders of Eretz Israel on the east side of the Jordan was Moab and Ammon, and they should have come and brought bread and water. They should have brought sustenance to Israel, because it's mishpacha. These are children of Lot. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. Instead, they came out to meet Klal Yisrael with the sword, and they wouldn't let them come through their land. That was one reason. And also, it was Moab that went and hired Bilam to go and curse Klal Yisrael in order to destroy them. So, and then the Torah tells us, "Leisidre shleimam v'teivosam kol yemecha leilam." Never seek their peace, never seek their goodness, all of the days. What do we see? We see the fruits of an act that can go on for generations later on. Because at one time, they didn't come to meet Klal Yisrael with bread and water. Or at one time, they hired Bilam to go and try to destroy the nation. Forever and ever and ever, the children were never allowed to be married into the central community of Hashem. Now, here we've cited cases where you see the long-term projections of a person's act when it's not a good act. Then we always say Meruba Midas Tova Mimida Midas Ra. If this is by evil, so certainly it's by good, just to the contrary. And this we find. For example, right here in the same parasha, in Posuk, in Bosuk Ches, it states, "Lo sisayv adomi ki achichohu, lo sisayv mitzri ki geri yisa be'artsoi." Dealing with the Egyptians. The Egyptian nation was a nation which was very evil to Klal Yisrael. Parai enslaved them for 400 years. At one time he was taking all of the male children and killing them, throwing them into the river. Or he commanded the midwives to kill them. So therefore I would say that we should hate the Egyptians all of the time. And even if they come to convert, they should have the same fate, where we shouldn't allow them to marry into the central community. Yet the Torah says, Lesisai mitzri, do not hate the Egyptians. Now this is speaking about an Egyptian that does tshuva, the children. They do tshuva, they repent. And not only that, they want to become kosher gerim. I want to become a Ger Tzedek, a righteous convert. So then do not hate them. Ki Ger Ha'isa Ba'artso. Because you enjoyed their land. You enjoyed their hospitality. Rashi brings Afal Pish Zor Kuzechereim Lior, even though that later on they wanted to kill your children. Nevertheless, when Yaakov came down with his family and they needed a place to stay during the time of Yosef, they gave you Eretz Goshen, Tuv Eretz Mitzrayim, the best of Egypt. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you cannot forget that. And therefore, If they come, someone comes and he does tshuva and he wants to become a kosher ger, dor shlishi yovel lehem bekal Hashem. You accept the conversion, and the third generation after the conversion can marry into any part of Israel. And here we see a good act. Pare said, let them live in Goshen. This is the best of Eretz Mitzrayim, a good act, and it gave fruits for generations later. We see further also, if we look before him in Perichot Beis, Pasuches. Torah tells us, when you build a new house, there's a mitzvah to put a wall around the roof so no one should fall. The next subject dealt with immediately after is Le Cesar Karmacha Kloin, that when you plant your vineyard, you have to be careful it's not a mixture of klaim, which means that you do not plant the grape seed together with other seeds, wheat and barley and so forth. The next subject dealt with, Leisachres Bishov Uvechamo Yachdov. When you have a field, a farm, and you're plowing, you cannot plow together under one yoke with the ox and the donkey. The very next subject dealt with is Leisil Bashatnes. You shall not wear clothing that semer upishtim yachdov, that's wool and linen joined together. The next subject, gedilim taseloch ala abba kamfis kshuscho asher techasebo, that you shall, when you on your clothing, if there are four corners, then you must put tzitzis on those four corners. Now, what is the relation between all of these five subjects? So Rashi tells us, he says as follows. Actually it starts from one even before the building of the new house. The parsha, which deals with the building, which is right before the building of the new house, that's in Posik Vov, is ki yikore kan sipo lefanecho baderech, that you're walking along and you find a nest. B'choleitz ala oretz efreichim obeitzim, and in the nest are young chicks or eggs. And the mother bird is sitting on the chicks or on the eggs. You're not allowed to take the mother away. You must send the mother away, and then you can take the eggs or the children. But you're not allowed to take the mother or the mother together with the eggs or the children. You must send the mother free. So what is the purpose of the relationship of the proximity of all of these subjects? Rashi says as follows: Im kayam to mitzvah shiloh hakan. Now shiloh hakan is what is known as a mitzvah kala. It's a very easy mitzvah because it doesn't cost you anything. If you go and you fulfill the mitzvah shiloh hakan, so then the Torah will give you a reward, and it'll give you another mitzvah. Seifai livnais bayis chodesh v'dekai mitzvahs makah. The Torah will see that you'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah of building a wall on your roof. Now, you can only build a wall on your roof if you have a house. So the Torah will see that you make some money where you can buy a house and then fulfill that mitzvah. And if you fulfill that mitzvah, he brings, because one mitzvah draws another. And if you fulfill that mitzvah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you another mitzvah. He'll give you a mitzvah that when you plant a vineyard, you won't plant a klein, the mixture of seeds. So you'll have to again give you some success when you make some money and you can buy yourself a vineyard. And if you fulfill that mitzvah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that you can fulfill another mitzvah, that when you have your, when you plow with your ox and your donkey, you will plow with them separately, not together. But for this you have to be a farmer. You have no farm. She'll give you a nice farm in the Cape, so you can fulfill that mitzvah. Then, if you fulfill that mitzvah, So now he has to find another mitzvah for you. So he'll give you the mitzvah, the mitzvahs of that you shouldn't wear shatnez and you should wear tzitzis. So for this you need clothing. So he'll give you money where you'll have beautiful clothing and you'll be able to afford the best, even the best linens and the best wools. So you won't have to buy synthetics. And when you buy the best linens and the best wools, you have to be careful it's not shatnez, because shatnez is linen and wool. So he'll give you now the opportunity to fulfill those mitzvahs also, and the mitzvah of tzitzis. This is why lekach nishmacha parshos halalu. This is why these mitzvahs are put together. So again we see how far reaching one act can be. Now, from all of this that we've quoted, we can learn a number of great principles. The first is that a person's acts are not dead. They're alive. And they grow. When you do something, you are actually planting. And just like when you plant, it grows. And not only does it grow, but it'll give forth fruit, that the fruit also will grow. The Gemara calls this peres upere peres, the fruit and the fruits of the fruits. And it can grow endlessly. This is also true with man's acts. You shouldn't think that when you do something, it ends there, but it's planting. And therefore, it has long-term ramifications, maybe even endless ramifications. Actually, the scientists say that they once did an investigation, a long study, on the waves of the sea, and to find out what starts the wave. And they traced the wave, and it was almost endless, that it almost went from one end of the world to the other. That the power of the wave would push other water, and that would push other water, and that would push other water. This is with a person's acts. The Gemara brings in Masechta Seita, Daf Mem Vav, Seif Omer Aleph. We quoted this Gemara on Shabbos. In last week's parsha, right at the end of the parsha, the Torah tells us the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. This is in Perachof Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Ki motzei cholel ba'adomo. A dead person was found, and he was found between two cities, Nefel Basode. Le neida mihi ko'u. We do not know who killed him. So the Zakenim, the elders of the city, actually the elders of the Sanhedrin come, and they measure to find out which is the closest city. And the city which is closest, so the elders, the shaftim, the judges of that city, they have to bring an eglas bokar ashelu ubabor. They bring a young calf in his first year, which was never worked, and lemoshko ba'ol, and never had the yoke on him. And they take this calf to Nachal Eson. Nachal Eson was a hard, either a hard piece of ground which was never worked, or it was a river, a very, very fast moving river, which also was never worked. Nothing never grew there. It was never worked and never planted. And there they break the neck of the calf by this river or in this valley as a kapora, as an atonement for the death of this person. Now the Gemara brings in Seita Daf Mem Vav Seif Omer Aleph Omer B'Yechon Ben Shaul. B'Yechon Ben Shaul said Mibnei Ma Omer Tere Hevi Egla V'Nachal. Why do we bring this young calf and why do we bring him down to this piece of land? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yovei Dove Shalei Osa Peres B'Yeorev B'Mokum She'ein Eisa Peres B'Yechaper Al Mi Shalei Hinichal Aseis Peres. So Hashem said, bring something which has not given its fruit yet. This is a calf which is in its first year and never worked. This is something that never gave forth fruit. Break its neck in a place that also didn't give forth fruit. A hard piece of land or a riverbed. B'chaper, and let this atone al mi shalei hinicha lasis peres, on this man that was murdered who was not able to give forth his fruit yet. So the Gemara says, my peres, what does it mean, let it atone for this murdered man who was cut down and not allowed to give forth his fruit? Ilem apirir ivyo, are you speaking of children? So what happens if the murdered man is an old man and he already gave birth to many, many children? So what does it mean, let it come and atone on a person who has not given forth his fruit yet? Ela mitzvahs. What are the fruits of man? The fruits of man are mitzvahs. And this man has not given forth all of his potential fruit because he was killed before the time of his death was supposed to come. And had he not been murdered, he would still be living and he would still be able to give forth fruit. The fruit are the mitzvahs. And the Maral brings, in the Pasuk it says, Adoma. It says that Ki Motze Cholaba Adoma, uses the word Adoma, not Oretz. What's the difference between Oretz land and Adoma? Both mean land. He says, because Adoma, that's the land where we get our name from. We are called Adam. That was the name given to Adam HaRishon because he was created from the Adoma. The question is asked, he was given a Shem Abushel, he was given a name which actually belongs to something else. Why wasn't he given a proper name, his own name? You think everything else were given their own names? Adam went and he identified all of the animals and every living creature and he named them. He called the lion an ayah, and he called the bear a dove, and he called the wolf a zev. And these were identification names. So why wasn't man given his own name? The answer is because when it comes to naming all of the animals, Adam with his wisdom was able to identify them perfectly. But man cannot be identified. Man is subject to what he's going to achieve in his life. So who can identify man? You'd only be able to identify each person on the day of his death, after he's lived a whole lifetime. Then you can say on each person what he was and what he did. And therefore Hashem gave man the name from Hadama, because that's the same with the earth. What is the earth? It depends what you do with it. You can leave it as a piece of wasteland. You can leave it as a desert, or you can irrigate it and till it and create the most beautiful farm from it, or you can build on it. It is all potential, and that's what man is. He has the potential to give forth fruit. And what are his main fruits? Mitzvahs, the Gemara says. Now, these mitzvahs and these acts that he does, these are fruits, living fruits that live, and they go on living, and they give forth, they give birth to other fruits, which can go for generations and generations. Now, therefore, just like if you plant a tree in good soil, it'll give forth good fruits. And the same thing with the fruits of the fruits. If you plant a tree in a bad soil, it'll give forth rotten fruits. If you plant a tree in a poisonous soil, it'll give forth poison fruits, and it'll go on and on and on. And this is what we see here. He took the the Ephes Tor, and there the source was in poisonous soil, and from there came poison fruits. On the other hand, you do something good, even Egypt, that Paro did for Klal Yisrael, he gave them, for Yaakov and his family, he gave them a place to stay that gave forth fruits for his nation forever. From here we learn how careful a person has to be with his acts and how much responsibility and accountability that one has to view his acts with. That's one principle that we learn from here. There's another principle we learn, and that when you do a mitzvah or you do an aveira, mitzvah gereres mitzvah and aveira gereres aveira. One mitzvah will draw another mitzvah, and one aveira, one transgression, will draw another. The reason for this is the Maral writes, is because if a person does a mitzvah, even a small mitzvah, even part of a mitzvah, we find even a machshava, even a good thought, machshava teva mitzvah lemaisa, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives schar, he gives reward, even when a person he decides he's going to do a mitzvah. From that time on already, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him, and he starts to give him reward. Once you decide to do a mitzvah, or once you start to do a mitzvah, you are bonding yourself, not with that mitzvah, but with the entire Torah. Because the Torah is kul echad. The Torah is one. It says Torah or. Just like if you bond yourself with light, you're bonding yourself with the whole essence of light. Once you start to do a mitzvah, you are bonding yourself not with a mitzvah, but with the entire Torah. And further, once a person is mishchaber le-Torah, when he bonds himself to Torah, then he bonds himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it is through Torah that one bonds himself to Hashem. They are one. There, then we can understand why mitzvah gereres mitzvah. That you do a mitzvah, or even do a part of a mitzvah, you're coming closer to all of the Torah, you're coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it'll bring more mitzvahs. To the contrary, if a person does an aveira, even a small aveira, through this he's distancing himself from the Torah. See? And through this he's distancing himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once a person distances himself from Hashem, then he's closer to further aveiras. And there's another reason also, because all aveiras come through the enticement and the drive of the Yetzer Hara. So what he's and the Yetzer Hara is kulara. This is evil. And what he does is slowly, not only is he distancing himself from the Torah and from Hashem, but he's putting himself into the hands of the Yetzer Hara.
he's coming closer to the power of the Yetzer Hara, which will bring him further away. And therefore, Avera, Gereres Avera, one Avera will draw the other. Now this is what Ben Azai in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Dalet Mishnah Beis, Ben Azai said, Hevirot le mitzvah kala, you should run to a small mitzvah. Rashi brings, you should run to a small mitzvah, ubereach min avera, and run away from an avera. She mitzvah gereres mitzvah, because one mitzvah draws the other, v'avera gereres avera, and one avera draws the other avera. So this is the principle he says, and this is the explanation, but we can ask something here. This that he said, bereach min avera, you should run from an avera, this we can understand, and you should run from it. Because once you get into the clutches of the Avera, there's problems. See? It's not just this Avera. Then you're distancing yourself from the Torah and from Hashem, and then you become closer to all Averas. And also you are putting yourself into the hands of the Yetzer Hara, like we see from these parshas. So this we can understand. But what does it mean, Hevirotz l'mitzvah kala? You should run for a mitzvah kala. Run for a light mitzvah, an easy mitzvah. What does he mean by that? Maybe he means you should run even for an easy mitzvah. Since every mitzvah is so important, run even for an easy mitzvah. We have a Mishnah like that that says that it should be be'enecho a mitzvah kala kikamura. A light mitzvah should be in your eyes as dear as a very great mitzvah. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that you should run even for a light mitzvah. He says you should run for a light mitzvah. Like that's the target. Look for an easy mitzvah. Why is he saying that? And here is a great, something which is a very, very great principle the Baral brings out. He's saying that since mitzvah gereres mitzvah, since one mitzvah brings you closer to other mitzvahs, he's giving us some advice on how to fulfill all the Torah. Person wants to fulfill the entire Torah. He'll say, it's so difficult to be a Jew. The yoke of the Torah is so heavy. He's giving you some good advice. He says, look for an easy mitzvah. Look for easy mitzvahs. And when you find one, run after it and do it. Because since mitzvah gereres mitzvah, this is an easy way to come and fulfill many, many mitzvahs. Because there's no difference between one mitzvah and the other. Any mitzvah you do is a mitzvah Hashem. So any mitzvah is going to bring you closer to the Torah and in touch with the entire Torah, because the entire Torah is one. So why do you have to knock yourself out to look for a difficult mitzvah and in that way become in touch or bond yourself to the whole Torah? You can look for an easy mitzvah, and by doing the easy mitzvah you'll also become bonded to the whole Torah, and you'll also come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that way mitzvahs will come your way and you could fulfill the entire Torah. So this is why he says heavy rots the mitzvah kala. Look for easy mitzvahs. Don't look for difficult mitzvahs. And when you find an easy mitzvah, run for it. Do it. Because this is an entree, an easy entree to the entire Torah. We can learn from here that one should look to make Torah, and this was the way of the sages. This was the way of all the generations. Except now, See? Now, for some reason, the generation has become obsessed with chumras. How to make Torah more difficult. It was the way of all of the generations. Not how to make Torah more difficult, but how to make Torah easier. I always try to look for easy mitzvahs. This is what Ben Azza is teaching us. Not for difficult mitzvahs. Torah is difficult enough. The same thing when you learn. When you learn, look for the easy learning. Don't worry, even the easy learning is very difficult. I remember when I was first went to yeshiva and I came back my first year. I used to daven in a shtibel. I came and the Rebbe asked me, how many blat gemore did you learn? And I told him I had learned 30 blat, 30, 40 blat in Baba Kama. So he says, 30, 40 blat in Baba Kama, so much. So then someone was standing there and he says, and this is a schwere gemore, it's a difficult gemore. So the Rebbe said, he says, I've been learning Gemara for 30 years and I haven't found the easy Gemara yet. See, what do you mean it's a difficult Gemara? And there's a Gemara that's not difficult. Even the easy ones are very difficult. When you learn, learn what's easy for you. Learn in a way that's easy for you. And through this, you will conquer even the difficult Gemaras. If you choose what's difficult, you know what's going to happen? You close the Gemara and leave it. This is not something that I say. This is something that the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, writes. And who knew, who had more experience in learning than him? And the same thing when it comes to chumras. Look how to make mitzvahs easier, not more difficult. Even the easy mitzvahs are sufficiently difficult. And this is something I always say, and the Vilna Gaon also says it. He says when a person starts to grow in Averis Hashem, first concentrate on the easy levels, on the basic levels. Don't look for the further levels. Because if you do, then what you're doing is jumping. And when you jump and you try to reach something that you might not reach, you can fall and kill yourself. And this was the way of the sages and the way of all the Talmidei Chachamim, except in this generation for some reason. Were they obsessed with making things more difficult than they have to be. And even with newcomers to Yiddishkeit. And this is what Ben Azza is saying. Havirotz l'mitzvah kala. When you see an easy mitzvah, some people will tell you, you see an easy mitzvah, you see a difficult mitzvah, it's better to do the difficult mitzvah. That's contrary to the advices of the sages. Havirotz l'mitzvah kala. When you see an easy mitzvah, go for it. Then through this you fulfill all of the Torah. You try to go for a hard mitzvah, you might fall and hurt yourself. You try to learn something that's too difficult for you. The Gross says, he says, Vaholachla, you'll close the Gemara and you'll leave. And the same thing with children. It actually breaks my heart when I see little children they're teaching Gemara to. Contrary to all of what the sages say. Take little children and they teach Gemara to that they should be learning Chumash, and after they're all Boki and Chumash they should be learning Mishnah, and there recently there was a Rosh Hashiva here from overseas and he told me, he says, this is why so many are leaving not only yeshivas but Yiddishkeit too. because they broke them, they destroyed them. Okay. By teaching them what's hard, not what's easy, the halachlay, they had enough and they leave as soon as they get old enough. A big problem overseas today with 16 and 17 and 18 year old dropouts, not only from yeshivas but from Yiddishkeit, they've had enough. And this is because, like my Rebbe always said, we don't listen to what Chazal tell us. We know better. See? And this is what Ben Azeh is saying. And even a mixus mitzvah is a mitzvah. There was a story with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. I once said this to someone. And later on they told me they read by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Yisrael Salanter, when he went to Germany and he saw so many Jews were being assimilated, they were going away from Yiddishkeit and they weren't keeping Shabbos, so what's he going to say to them? See, all of a sudden he's going to tell them to go close your businesses on Shabbos, close your banks, and they were big businessmen in Germany, close your banks and close your shops and close this on Shabbos. So he listened to Chazal. He told them. He says, I want you to do something. He says, I know you can't keep all of Shabbos. It's too difficult for you. All right. He says, keep a little Shabbos. You come home from work, keep the rest of Shabbos. Keep Friday night. Keep an hour of Shabbos, he said. You and your wife for 1 hour. Don't turn on any lights, don't make any fires. Do that. And this way, slowly, he got many people to keep Shabbos. What did he base it on? Because mitzvah gereres mitzvah. You get someone to do a little of a mitzvah, the Torah will get him to do the rest of the mitzvah. These are the eitzes of Chazal. So these are the principles we see here. That an act of a person that's a seed, and it's going to grow, but it's going to grow in the direction that you plant it. If it's good, it can go on and on and on. If it's a mitzvah, it'll be mitzvah gereres mitzvah. If it's a bad act, we'll have to suffer the fruits of it. The ramifications will go on and on and on. If it's an aveira, see, it'll be aveira gereres aveira. This is what we see in a number of cases in this week's parsha, and it gives us a great deal to learn from. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.